Welcome to the Color My World Confident Podcast, where women learn strategies to build outstanding self-confidence and break through any fears or self-doubts that keep you from achieving your dreams of advancement in your career or your own successful business. With your host, Jean Caton.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Jean Caton. Thanks for listening to this episode to get your infusion of confidence from my guest, Bruce Langford.
Great to be here, Jean. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your show.
I hate to use that overused word, I am excited, but I am very excited to have you as one of my guests because it's a little bit different aspect for my listeners. You're my first man, Bruce, okay?
And I'm honored to be the first man. This is terrific.
I love working with men, and yet my podcast is about women's careers. So let me tell our guests a little bit about you, and then you can add a little bit more before we get into the interview. And Bruce works as a full-time mindfulness coach, a speaker, and a podcaster. And he got into this field when in 2003 he became passionate about helping bullied children when he saw the negative effects of bullying in the school where he taught. And then Bruce left the teaching profession and became a full-time entrepreneur delivering anti-bullying respect and mindfulness presentations. He's both nationally and internationally. And he talks about the connection of bullying and mindfulness, and he says there's a clear connection and that bullying declines when mindfulness is prevalent. Bruce also is a co-writer with Brian Tracy of the best-selling book, Cracking the Success Code. So we have a very qualified person to talk to us today. And the subject I want Bruce to talk to us about is his expertise in mindfulness. And I want to tie in how my women listeners who want to develop more confidence in their work and life can use mindfulness as an asset or a tool in their toolbox. And I told Bruce when we set this up that I am a graduate of corporate America and an A-plus personality that I was for so many years. And I have started incorporating mindfulness into and meditation into my daily routine. And it has helped me in so many ways that I'm sure you will benefit from hearing as well. So, Bruce, tell us a little bit more about what you do actually as a mindfulness coach.
What I do as a mindfulness coach is I get on and I evaluate where the person is. And I deal with a lot of women and have throughout my career because being a teacher, I found myself in schools many times when there were 30 or 40 women teachers and only two or three male teachers outnumbered. Much of the time. And I was a music director in a church where I had a choir and a number of choirs at times. And many times there were more women than men. So I've just been dealing with women all through my career. And what do I do as a mindfulness coach? Like I said, I evaluate where you are, what your needs are, what it is that you're looking to change in your life. And then we move on and step by step, piece by piece, we work on these particular aspects so that we can get you to where you want to be, to your comfort zone. And it actually makes a tremendous difference once we start working through this process because so many women, and men too, but so many women have confidence issues and they have stress and overwhelm that really stops them in their tracks. And, you know, we want to move forward. We have ideas about where we want to go. But if we're stressed out because of this sense of anxiety and overwhelm, then we just can't move forward. And that's why so many of my clients come back to me later and they're like, oh, I can't believe how much I've been able to achieve since we just worked on that one piece, that mindfulness piece. So it's exciting. It's exciting work.
And I would guess quite rewarding to see the transformation in the lives of the people that both listen to your podcast and that you work with as a coach.
very rewarding. And I do get a lot of feedback from my podcast because I have almost 120 episodes now. So I do some solo episodes and I interview people. And not only do I get great feedback, but I learn a lot too from some of the people who give me insight into mindfulness that even I, after having worked for years in this field, I just feel really excited to talk to somebody that says something that I learned from. And that is every day I learn something about mindfulness.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance at the end of our conversation to tell the listeners where they can get information about you and what you do, and your podcast and so forth, because that's actually how I first got to know you and why I invited you to be a guest, because I listened to some of your episodes and on my mindfulness journey and found them very, very interesting and helpful. So I've had this question because I'm fairly recent to the mindfulness and meditation arena. I have a question that I think a lot of my listeners may have. When I first started, it was a little bit confusing to me. Mindfulness, meditation, which is which? Do they go together? How they're different? And my take on it is meditation helps you be more mindful, but I'd like you to explain and discriminate between mindfulness and meditation some more so we can all be really clear on that.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. Mindfulness is an overall word that describes a sense that you are not stressing about the past, you're not focused on the future, you're much more centered into today, into this moment, you're living your life that way more so. That's mindfulness. It's an overall term and it means different things to different people. Meditation is one part of mindfulness, just like you've described, Jean. Meditation can take the form of something quite traditional where every day for 30 minutes you just slow your mind down and you take that time not to think about things other than your specific meditation time. And what that does is it does give you a sense of calm. It gives you a sense of focus. And later on in the day, you will probably feel more calm and more focused than if you hadn't meditated. And this is true once you begin a meditation practice and you've been doing it for, well, I would say at least 3 weeks or so. It's surprising how quickly this can make a difference in your life, but meditation takes on so many different forms with different people. Like, for instance, Brent Seal is a mountain climber, and he's a man who sees meditation as something he receives as he climbs mountains. So he doesn't specifically sit down and meditate every day. But that's true for lots of people who, in their lives, meditation takes the form of running, or it takes the form of, like, knitting, for example. I have a woman who is a guest on my show, and she's into crafts and knitting. And for her, that is a form of meditation when she sits down and thinks of nothing else except that specific thing she's doing at that moment. So I hope that answers your question, Jean.
Yeah, it definitely does, because they're linked together so often. And one of the things I have done is I went to a mindfulness workshop at the Kripalu Yoga and Wellness Center out in the Berkshires in June. And we talked about mindfulness in nature. And we did just what you said. We did some walking in the forest and we're being mindful and meditating. Now, I'm not the expert to go into it, but basically what you said, we weren't always just sitting on a cushion and being, you know, quiet, but we were moving in nature. So
yeah, exactly.
And I think that's very helpful to a lot of people because, you know, the time is such an issue, but that's really helpful. And, you know, the other thing that my roots come in my profession, I started out in a scientific oriented career with my undergraduate degree and my first graduate degree. I took every chemistry and biology and science course known to humankind. So I'm big on evidence. And what really has been a compelling thing to me is to know that there's more and more evidence about how these practices can help us in our life. And I know a lot of my listeners, women in the STEM careers and nutritionists and so forth, who like me are, you know, have the scientific bent. So can you tell us a little bit about evidence might work or help? What does the evidence say?
It is really interesting to look at the evidence because in 2001, it's hard to believe it was this recent, but in 2001, they started doing some advanced brain testing and they discovered a system where they could more easily interpret brain waves. And if you had asked me, I would have thought that they could do this way before 2001, but they did some amazing studies. And since then, more and more studies have taken place where they have shown that people who meditate are really able to be more focused and they're more grounded and they're happier. And there is a lot of scientific evidence out there to show that. The best evidence, of course, is when you experiment with this yourself and discover it for yourself. But you're right, there is great scientific evidence out there. I don't have a specific study right here at hand to cite, but there are a lot of studies that you can simply Google it and you'll find that, yes, there have been a lot of scientists who have really gotten into this area to prove that meditation is making a huge difference. And that's why a lot of school districts have started to bring this into their systems and they're actually implementing meditation and various forms of mindfulness.
Wow, that is fantastic. And yeah, people can go out if they're interested and look it up. But I do think it's important just to be aware of the fact that for those who may be skeptical, certainly not me, but that there is evidence of many advantages. And then earlier in our conversation, you talked about anxiety. And, you know, that seems a little bit like an obvious one. But I know a lot of people and a lot of women working in some of the high stress jobs that they work in, if they get too anxious, their mind shuts down. They can't think and be on top of things and so forth. So I'm a big fan. And the other thing I want to go back to that you said a couple of minutes ago, you said as soon as 3 weeks. Well, I have been feeling so much more calm and focused, and I've noticed, and I've been doing it longer than 3 weeks, but not that long. And I'm thinking, oh, Gene, this is all in your head, and this is the placebo effect and everything. But now to hear you say that even though I've only been, I guess, more serious, I've dabbled in it off and on for quite some time, but I've only been more serious about my routine is, you know, start to show little effects as soon as 3 weeks. Well, I guess maybe it's not my vivid imagination.
No. Well, you know, it's easy to think, oh, it probably is placebo. Oh, is this me imagining this?
Yeah.
And we do naturally think that sometimes, but it's been proven that it really does make a difference that quickly. And, you know, I am a good example of this because when I was in school, I would do this thing. I would take courses and enjoy them. I mean, even in university, and then I would get into an exam and I could just feel myself tensing up and I could feel myself getting into this state of anxiety. And sometimes, you know, I'd get started and I'd think, I know this. I know this. I know this. Why doesn't it come out on the paper? Why am I not able to retrieve this information that I know perfectly well is there? And it was because of that same thing. I was putting myself into an anxious state, and it's proven that this kind of stress, it's very difficult not only to recount information that we already know, but it's very difficult to learn. So that's why in schools, we need to be able to have children and young adults be as relaxed as possible, enjoy their experience, because then they will learn. They will take this new information on and it'll stick with them, rather than the opposite where they're just not able to take on this new learning. So it's really important to be relaxed.
Yeah, that test pressure that so many people experience in school, and of course, you know, working women are long, you know, they're no longer the smartest girl or the dumbest girl or whatever in class. They are now out there in the work world. But I think a lot of people still see work challenges like they're being tested and measured and judged and so forth. So say even go into an interview, you know, if you get that test anxiety, I suppose there. So, well, let's talk about some of the things I've been thinking about that I know my coaching clients who are primarily corporate women and business women who have their own businesses. I know my clients deal with some of these things, and they deal with the inner critic, which are the negative self-talk. They get presentation jitters big time, whether they're presenting at an important meeting in their company or on stage at a national sales meeting or something like that. They deal with perfectionism. And, oh, man, are they bad about ruminating and awfulizing if they make a mistake. And I read this thing that showed men externalize the blame and women internalize the blame. And, you know, the example was, and it, I agree with the information that I read, is men are more apt to say, oh, my boss, she was in a bad mood. That's why she turned down my project funding or whatever. Where women are like, oh, what did I do wrong? It was probably a bad presentation. I did this or that. And not only do they internalize it, and that probably the right thing to do is somewhere in the middle, but they ruminate over it and they don't let it go. So, you know, I have a list far longer than we could ever talk about on this podcast. So the potential way mindfulness could help with that inner critic that comes from the negative self-talk that women believe what these tapes they're hearing in their head is true.
Yes.
How do we harness the negative self-talk, and how can mindfulness and meditation help that issue?
Well, Jean, that negative self-talk, that inner critic, that really plays a huge role when we go to do presentations and when we go to speak on a stage. And you've mentioned that presentation jitters, and it's because of that tape that we're playing. And so what we have to do is we have to replace that tape. Take that tape out and replace it with another one that we've created. So we need to create the tape that's all about confidence, the tape that's all about, there I am walking up on that stage, looking good, feeling good, and the audience reacts positively. And I see this picture, I see this image of myself. And we can do this visually in our own minds, and we can do it through mantras. And we need to start saying to ourselves, oh, yes, I can be confident. I am confident. And it's so easy to let that inner voice, that inner chatter, keep saying, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to get up there and do that. Whatever those words are saying, and
yeah,
it's up,
right.
It's up to us to stop it. And it's, you're right. As women, I think women do internalize a lot more and they blame themselves a lot more. And I think that's a whole topic in itself that, you know, it goes back to so much that's gone on in the past. But never mind that. We can change. We can change now, and you can change. So you need to just stop that voice by saying, stop, I'm replacing you with this. And you've created a tape that has you feeling and looking and being confident. And you're going up there and you're speaking. And you're speaking with authority. You have your feet planted firmly on the floor. You look confident. And much of this just comes from practice. And when we meditate, this is a place that some people use mantras as they meditate and just think of one thing. And you can be thinking about that one thing is about how confident you are. Not want to be, not not what I will be someday, but I am feeling this new sense of confidence. And that will help you with presentation jitters, but it'll help you as well get through your day of everyday routines where you're going to begin to feel a lot more secure and like, hey, you know, I'm here because I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm wanted, I'm secure, and I'm going to do my job and feel good about it. And those are all really important things that I teach to my clients. And after a few days, a few weeks of doing these things, they come back to me and they say, you know, Bruce, at first I just didn't know for sure, but this is really working for me and I really am feeling more confident. So it does make a difference, Jean.
Yep. And, you know, just by being more calm, you're going to give a better speech.
You absolutely are.
Your mind's not going to shut down. And the other thing you've said earlier is if you're more mindful, you hear that I'm not good enough. You know that that is creating some jitters. And then if they say the old expression, name it and claim it, just by being aware of the negative talk, of course, it's hard to turn it around, but, you know, you begin somewhere and you do turn it around to feel more secure in all the things you mentioned. And as a coach, I know I bring things to people's attention that they didn't even have the awareness first. So I think that, yeah, that mindfulness of the negative self-talk and what's going on and all of that can be extremely helpful to stop believing those issues, because as we said, those issues are deep-seated and been around for a long time, but we have to learn to stop believing them and staying more mindful and not ruminating, awfulizing about the mistake they made by skipping a slide or not answering a question confidently or whatever. So yeah, I just think that it's the beginning of a huge transformation, as you've given some reference about some of your clients that you have had so much experience with. Let me ask you this before we get into talking about where people can connect with you. What can people do who are listening to this episode right away? Start listening to your podcast and go on your website and learn more about you and hire you and all those more higher action steps. So tell us a little bit what the simple steps are to get started.
Okay, getting started, the first thing I think you should do is sit down with a pen and begin to just write down what changes you would like to have in your life. Where would you like to be? Where would you like to go? And that's something that can really help us to kind of get to where we want to begin. And then I suggest you just take 2 minutes. Just set the timer on your phone for 2 minutes and just think to yourself, you know what? For 2 minutes, I'm just going to relax and not worry about anything. And if you do think about all kinds of things during that 2 minutes, it's fine. Don't beat yourself up. But think about just quieting your brain. Think about your breath. Think about, you know, you're taking a breath, you're letting it out. Don't try to take a certain kind of breath and then hold it or exhale for a longer period of time or anything. Just notice it. Notice your breath as you breathe for 2 minutes. And the most important thing I already mentioned is don't let your brain play those tricks where they'll say, oh, well, that wasn't meditating. My brain was going a mile a minute. This is just crazy. This is just like it always is. You know, like, don't listen to that voice.
Is that in the clinic again?
It is. And I can guarantee you that voice will be active. So that will make a difference for you. But it takes time. And then you can expand it to 3 minutes. And just do that and do some journaling. And that's a great way to start. And it's not going to cost you a penny. But the thing is, you have to be disciplined to actually do it, because I'm saying this right now and you may be thinking to yourself, yeah, I'm really going to do that. And then you get off, you know, listening, doing something else, and then driving home from work or whatever. And all of a sudden the day passes and you didn't do the thing that you thought you were going to do. So you just have to make it a priority. And then once you do, if you make it a priority as part of a routine, it can become a habit. And habits have incredible power. If we make sure that we implement some good habits in our lives, which I'm sure you all have, listeners, you have great habits, but we can form habits that get us to where we want to go. So the power of habit is incredible, and that can help you right along with the journaling and taking a few minutes to just calm your mind.
That is really, really helpful. It really sounds simple, but we know it's not easy because it's the discipline to develop the routine that eventually becomes your new best habit. And time is such an issue for people. So you said 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Anybody that can't find 2 or 3 minutes really isn't committed to this.
That's right.
I know when I first started, I played around with the routine. You know, is it best first thing I get up in the morning? But I sometimes have more quiet mind and quiet time midday. I've played around with different things and different times, and I think it's different for everybody. But yeah, just 2 minutes to start and the discipline to say, on this day, at this time, this morning, or this lunch break, or whatever, I'm going to do 2 minutes. And when I went to that Kripalu lecture, someone in the room was a school teacher, and she said, I'd close my classroom door, and I sat with a blanket over my head because I didn't want if people peeked in to see what I was doing or whatever. She just told a funny story, but she was so committed. That's the way she started, just trying to grab a couple of minutes during her lunch break. So, and that's good. And the other thing I want to amplify that you said, I think is very helpful, is just notice what's going on without that judgment. I didn't meditate perfectly. I couldn't even sit there for 2 minutes without my busy mind racing. Let go. Take off the judging hat. And I emphasize those points because I know those are some of the issues that people deal with. I have some pretty harsh judges of themselves and perfectionists.
Yes.
So, yeah, well, thanks for that. And now it's your turn to tell the listeners how they can connect with you, learn more from you about your work, and tell us, you know, your website URL, any programs or tools you want to share with the listeners who are ready to do a deep dive and get to know more.
Yes, I'd like to share my website. It's mindfulnessmode.com, mindfulnessmode with a D.com. And remember that mindfulness is spelled with the one L. And I laugh because sometimes I've made mistakes as I've gone typing and I went, why did I go and put two L's in that word? I don't know. But a lot of us make mistakes that way. But on that site, I have my podcast and you'll see so many interesting people, both men and women, they've really moved forward because of mindfulness. And it's so exciting to hear the different ways that they've found that mindfulness has helped them. And what I would like to do is offer you a way to begin this meditation process very, very easily. And I've put together 5 meditation videos that they're just guided, so I'm just kind of talking you through it, and I leave some silence in there, but I put some video on there too for those of you who just feel you'd like to have something visual. Of course, you can close your eyes if you don't want the visual, but it helps some people. And so all you have to do is go to mindfulnessmode.com/Focus, F-O-C-U-S, because that's what it's going to give you, mindfulnessmode.com/focus. So that's just a gift for your listeners, Gene. I think that will be very helpful because I know that others have enjoyed it too. So I also wanted to mention, if you would like to read, there's a wonderful book by Michael Singer called The Surrender Experiment, which is just talking about his life and what he experienced. And I just thought it was so fascinating. I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful book, and your listeners might enjoy that too, Jean.
Oh, that's great. I am a reader, and I think a lot of my listeners are probably readers too. So those are great references, and thank you. And we will get this all communicated to my listeners. And I just want to say thank you, Bruce, for this excellent information. And wow, the time went by so quickly.
Yes.
So much to say, but I think we got a really good start that people should just give this a try, because probably no one was more driven and skeptical and all this and that, but it's been a very helpful tool. And I've heard from, since I started mentioning what I was doing, more and more people saying, yeah, me too. And it's been very helpful. So thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, Jean. Have a great day.
Thank you. And you can find the links mentioned in this episode in the show notes at colormyworldconfident.com. If you're listening in iTunes, I hope you subscribe so you will never miss an episode. And consider leaving a review for the show if it's been helpful to you, because those reviews help me get more listeners to benefit from all my interesting guests. Or maybe put it in your favorites playlist on Stitcher Radio. So have a week colored with confidence, and bye for now.
For more information, or to find out how to get a copy of the Color My World Confident coloring book and your confidence self-assessment, email Jean at colormyworldconfident@gmail.com. Or visit the Color My World Confident Facebook page. Tune in next week to get another infusion of confidence.